Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The fifth incarnation, named Lord Kapila, is the foremost among the perfected beings. He gave an exposition on the creative elements and the metaphysics to the Asuri Brahmana, for in course of time this knowledge has been lost. Purport. The sum total of the creative elements is 24 in all. Each and every one of them is explicitly explained in the system of Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya philosophy is generally called metaphysics by the European scholars. The etymological meaning of Sankhya is that which explains very lucidly by analysis of the material elements. This was done for the first time by Lord Kapila, who is said herein to be the fifth in line of the incarnations. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesaisa Shunyavadi Paschachyade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'd like to take permission from everyone to say a few words. I thank you for your time in being in here. Time is a luxury we don't all have. So to use your valuable time in listening to Srimad Bhagavatam is a great sacrifice. So, of all the different verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm landed philosophy. Philosophy is not really my kind of cup of tea. We got our resident scholar here. When I was interested in becoming Krishna consciousness, philosophy wasn't what was really something that attracted me to Krishna consciousness. Of course, I was a young kind of a lad then. Everyone becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness for different reasons. There was one devotee, he came here, he kind of, you know, wandered here, the Hare Krishna place, and the Sunday feast was very popular. And he had some date halava, and that was it for him. Boom, he just joined the temple. He never left. He didn't know why he came, but the date halava did it for him. For me, it wasn't the philosophy, and it wasn't the prasadam, because my mom was a brilliant cook. It's not my kind of saying. Shivaram Maharaj himself personally, you know, used to come all the time there. But for me, the attraction was the devotees. The devotees what was attracted me to the Hare Krishna movement. So I know basic philosophy, obviously, but Lord Kapila is specifically known for his explanation of the philosophy here explained as the Sankhya philosophy. So the chapter here, which is Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So as we know, Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original source. But Krishna, he sometimes also likes to go and venture out. I think we all have it in us that we like to go somewhere. We like to go on a holiday somewhere. Do you guys like to go on a holiday? Come on, that's what the world lives for, isn't it? We all kind of really, really look forward to that moment when we have our holiday. So interestingly enough, Krishna, he also likes to go. He likes to go and have adventures. He also likes to go and have different kinds of amazing experiences. Because that's what traveling does. What we learn in the books, in the schools, we get a certain amount of knowledge. But the experience we get when we're traveling, you cannot get unless you experience that yourself. So Krishna, because we like traveling, we're part of Krishna. So this originally comes from Krishna. He also likes to travel. So he has his spiritual world. And then once in a while he likes to travel. And he descends incarnations or avatars. And he comes down to the material world. And here he comes. And he has different leelas, pastimes. And in this way, he enjoys particular rasa with the devotees or with the demons. So Krishna likes, and he descends, avatar, incarnation, he comes. So there's a joke here, I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but Jesus, Moses, and they're all discussing. They were in the heavens or whatever, and they were saying, oh man, I've been working so hard and, you know, doing God's bidding. I need a little break. And then Jesus was saying, oh, where can I go? And then Moses says, oh, why don't you go down to earth? It's a really nice place over there. And Jesus was thinking, And then I said, yeah, it's really nice at this time of the year. Do you want to go to earth? And Jesus said, no, I don't want to go there. I went there last time and they just killed me, you know. So the idea is that Krishna, he comes down. So there's that one verse in Brahma Samhita. We know this verse. Everyone knows this verse. Rama dimuti shikalani aminathistan nana vatara makarit bhuvanesha kintu Krishna swambhayam sambhavat purama pumam yo Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So in here, it explains that Krishna, he has many, many different kinds of incarnations. Here we're studying, I think there's 21, is that correct? I think there's 21 incarnations which are described in this particular chapter. So there are different categories that Krishna, he comes down in. We have the Purusha avatars. We have the Guna avatars. And we have the Leela avatars. So these are all different categories that Krishna comes down in. And what is his purpose? It's very simple. He has two main purposes. He comes down. It's explained there in the Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Everyone knows, I'm sure. Establishing the religious principles. Yuda yuda hi dharmasya. And then paritranaya sadhunam. And this is the prime purpose. Killing the demons, putting the religious principles is there, but his main business is paritranaya sadhunam, the sadhus, the devotees, the Vaishnavas, the Brahmins. They are very, very, very dear to the Lord. And he comes and he incarnates in this particular way. To protect the devotees, to protect and save the devotees. So he comes, we know the famous 10 incarnation, the Dash avatars. He comes as Matsya avatar, he comes as Kurma, he comes as Sukra, he comes at Narsingadev. So just recently, I just came back from Hovelum, the place where Lord Nisshingadev appeared. Anyone been to Hovelum here? So Prabhuji's been there. So it's a very, very nice place, and I was a little bit surprised about the wonderful different pastimes of different incarnations of Nisshingadev. So generally, at least speaking for myself, we know Nisshingadev came, bang, 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 he killed Hiranyaksha, and then he saved Prahlad. So we all know these fantastic stories, but interestingly enough, there's also other fantastic stories and different incarnations of Nisshingadev that he appeared. So obviously the most famous one is that when he appeared in the pillar, and according to the legend there, there's a deity there. So you got the pillar, which is quite high up. There's 3,000 feet high. You can climb right to the top, and you can see the place where Nisshingadev appeared. And just at the halfway mark, there's Ujvala Nisshinga there. And there's a Swayambhu manifestation of Nisshinga deity. Anyone know what Swayambhu means? Self-manifesting deity. So generally, deities are commissioned by a pure devotee, by Vaishnavas, and in an authorized way, then the deity is fashioned, and then the pure devotee installs the deity. But there are few deities in India which are called self-manifesting. Balaji is one of them. The Adikeshava temple, there's another one there, Srirangam. They're all self-manifesting deity. And this is a self-manifesting deity, the place where Nisshingadev appeared. So when Nisshingadev appeared in this particular form, generally it is understood that he came and he burst in the pillar. Ah! But there's a pose that actually Nisshingadev, he came like this. And you can see this deity, the Pujari, he showed us that he came in a folded arms. So although he came angry, he still came in a respectful way. And in this way, he entered this material world. So this was Ujvala. Ujvala, anyone knows what this means? Fire. So fire is one of the most devastating element. So when the Lord came in this particular form, fire manifested everywhere. And there's three deities over there. So the one deity is the self-manifesting deity where Lord Nisshingadev came out. Then there's another deity of Nisshingadev tearing Hiranyakashipu. And then there's a third deity over there where Nisshingadev is fighting Hiranyakashipu. So these are the three deities which are installed, the place where it's called Ugra Stamba, the place where Nisshingadev appeared. So that's about 3,000 feet. Then when you come down a little bit, then you come to another incarnation of Lord Nisshingadev. And this is called Vahara incarnation, or Vahara Nisshinga. So, in one sense, Nisshingadev appeared because of what Lord Bo did. What did Lord Bo did? So then as a direct result of his activities, Lord Nisshingadev appeared. So So then because of that, then Lord Sukra, he wanted to see this incredible form of the Lord. So then he asked the Lord to please manifest himself, and then the Lord manifested. So then you see a deity of Nisshingadev, but one of the heads of Nisshingadev is of Sukra, or the boar incarnation. So then, so that's the second one. There's nine Nisshingadev incarnations. So then the Lord appeared in this second incarnation. Then as you go further down the hill, then you come to another Nisshingadev. And so normally when the husband goes, who normally follows the husband? The husband. Who follows the husband? The wife. Yeah? The wife likes to go wherever the husband is. I mean, I'm not sure in Kali Yuga, but you know, everyone has their different kind of schedules. I've been told that nowadays that if you want to like meet your wife or your husband, you have to just make an appointment on email. But when Lord Nrsingadev, when he appeared, he came in a rush, he came quickly, he didn't have any parents, he didn't go through the normal, you know, Baal kind of incarnation, he just bang, he just appeared, did his bit. So then Lakshmi felt, wifey felt, left out. Pati's gone, but left me there in Vaikuntha. You know, come on, what's the deal? So then Lakshmi performed some penance that I also want to be with you, standing, sitting next to you. So Lakshmi performed some penance in this particular place, and then Nrsingadev appeared in that particular form, and there, the whole marriage of Lakshmi and Nrsinga took place. I didn't even know about it. So a whole marriage took place between Lakshmi and Nrsinga. Hence we have Lakshmi Nrsinga. So what number are we on? Are you listening? 3. Okay, so we're on number 3. So then we go further down the hill. Then we come to Ugra Nrsinga, the most fierce form of the Lord. This is the zenith of his anger. So this is, again, a self-manifesting deity. So this deity just appeared in a cave. One day the pujari was just out there, and you can go inside the cave, and you see this cave, and the deity is amazing, so beautiful. And this deity just appeared in a dream and said, this is the form that I appeared. And then hence the puja is taking place. So that's Ugra Nrsinga, the most fierce form of the Lord. So then, that's number 4, right? Then we go further down the hill a little bit. Then we come to another form of Lord Nrsingadev. So Hanuman, he was performing some penance. So when you perform penance, where is the best place to perform penance? Isolation. In a jungle, in a gufa, in a place where you cannot be disturbed anywhere. So in the same way, Hanuman, he was feeling so much separation from Lord Ram, because Lord Ram had, he was feeling so much separation that he found this jungle, this isolated place, and there he was praying and he was just chanting Ram, 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 Ram. And then he was just chanting, and his separation was so intense, so pure, Nrsingadev appeared. And of course, when Nrsingadev appears, you become a little startled, because you've never seen such a form like this. So then naturally, Hanuman was thinking, I was worshipping, I was meditating on Lord Ram. How is it that this personality is here? So then Nrsingadev said, actually, I am the same Lord Ram that you're meditating on, that you're chanting. And Hanuman wouldn't have it. He couldn't believe. You don't look anything like Ram. Last time I checked, he was a little bit green and he had a bow in his hand, you know. You don't look very similar, you know. And he says, yes, I am that same form. So then, Nrsingadev, he manifested a bow that Lord Ram used to use. And then he manifested an arrow, the arrow that shot Ravana. And when Hanuman saw this, then he realized that Nrsingadev is the same Ram that he'd been worshipping and meditating. So if you go to this particular deity, then you see Nrsingh Dev, and you see a bow in his hand, and you see an arrow in his hand. So this is the form of Ram Nrsingh. So he's not here at the moment, but Ram Nrsingh. So this is the Lord manifesting himself to Hanuman, stating that there's no difference between Nrsingh Dev Bhagavan and Ram Bhagavan. So that's Ram Nrsingh, and you can go and see that particular deity there. So what we're on now? My memory is going. Six, yeah? Okay, so then we kind of finish all the different pastimes on the top there. Then we go down. Then you take a left. Then you come to a very, very interesting form of the Lord. And this particular form of the Lord, my favorite, I don't know why, you go and figure it out, is called Laughing Nrsingh. So normally when you look at Lord Nrsingh Dev, big face, big growl, you know, very, very fierce. But when you look at this particular deity of Nrsingh Dev, he's got an ear-to-ear smile. He's got a massive big smile. And the story behind the reason why he's got a smile, does anyone know? I'm not trying to test you, please, you know. The reason why he was smiling was after Nrsingh Dev killed Hiranyakashipu, he burst out into a fit of laughter. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. You know, someone starts with someone, and then before you know it, you just laugh. Start laughing, you know. And that's what Lord Nrsingh Dev did. He just started laughing. You know, and everyone was looking, so he's really angry. Then next moment, he's just laughing and laughing. And then everyone's trying to figure out why he's laughing. Does anyone know why he was laughing by any chance? Shishirada Gokulanandaki. So the reason why he was laughing was because after he killed Hiranyakashipu, he thought to himself, how is it that this one insignificant wasp dares to think that he can challenge my might? Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the most powerful. Who can even dare to challenge Krishna? So then he was thinking, this one insignificant, even though Hiranyakashipu was probably the most powerful demon in the Puranas, still Nrsingh Dev just thought, boom, he was a little bit of a wasp. So he started laughing. So therefore, this particular form of the Lord is called Laughing Nrsingh. And you can kind of go over there and see, not the normal, you know, ferocious looking Nrsingh Dev, but a big smile. And if anybody wants, I have some particular maha from this particular deity, because I took a bit extra because I need some of that. So I think now we got two more left, is it? So then that's Laughing Nrsingh. Then you go a little bit further down the road. Then you come to Yoga Nrsingh. So you've all seen the Lord is kind of, oh, I can't do it. But there's this particular form of the Lord. Yeah, he's sitting like this. Have you seen that? And there's a little band there. So this is called Yoga Nrsingh. So the pastime goes that after killing Hiranyakashipu, and then contrary to belief, Nrsingh didn't just disappear and go back to the Vaikuntha. He stayed a little bit. And it's explained that at this particular spot, he taught some yoga to Prahlad. So there you go. It's bona fide yoga, yeah? So if you think, oh, Hatha yoga, forget it. I just want bhakti yoga. There you go. Apparently, Nrsingh Dev taught yoga to Prahlad Maharaj. So this is a particular Purana that explains the different asanas, the different postures that the Lord taught Prahlad Maharaj. So that's Yoga Nrsinga. So then that's our eighth one, isn't it? Now we come to the last one. And the last one, then you just backtrack a little bit further up. And then you go to up some kind of mountain. So all these places you have to do a little bit of trekking. If you have some back problems, probably not a good idea. But, you know, it's about a good like 15-mile hike going to all these different places, all remote jungle. So this particular is called Bharga Nrsinga. Bharga Nrsinga. Anyone knows who Bharga is? He's also one of the incarnations of the Lord. Is Parashuram. So the Leela goes, as you all know, Parashuram is a mighty fighter, chastiser of the Kshatriyas, and his might is pretty, pretty powerful. But when he heard that Lord came as Nrsingadev and he killed the most powerful demon so easily, he was really, really impressed. And he was thinking, it took me 21 generations to get rid of this lot, you know. But he did it just like that. So what form of the Lord is this? I want to see this form. So then he went to this spot, he meditated. And then soon enough, the Lord, he appeared. And then Parashuram was in great awe. He'd never seen the form of the Lord like this before, very fierce. And then he offered wonderful prayers. And then you can see this particular form. There's an axe. Ah! The axe is there, which is Bharga Nrsinga. So these are the different incarnations of Lord Nrsingadev that appeared. So back to today's verse over here. So Kapila, also one of the incarnation, is the son of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So it is explained that Kapila's father, when he came at a suitable age, he took the permission of the wife and then he renounced everything and he took sannyas. So that was the Vedic culture. And the system, as you all know, the woman is looked after by the father in the first stage, the second stage by the husband, and the last stage by the son. So then Kardama asked Kapila to look after the mother. So then Devahuti, the mother, was told by Lord Brahma that your son is not an ordinary person. In fact, he's a very, very special person. So then she started to inquire from Kapila and asked various questions about life. You know, it's something that I think we all ask about life. Who am I? What is the purpose of everything? What's going to happen to me afterwards? So Devahuti put these questions in front of Kapila Muni. And then Kapila, as explained here, explain the Sankhya philosophy. So here it explains, Sankhya is the philosophy of all the different material elements. So the elements are very, very important. We use the elements, we live in the elements. So started explaining the very, very basic basis of life, which are the elements, the metaphysics, as Prabhupada calls it over here. But as he went to explain more and more about the philosophy, it started off with like jnana, then it went into karma yoga, then ultimately the conclusion of Kapila's teachings, which is there in the teachings of Kapila, which is very important because there's a book specifically dedicated to the teachings of Lord Kapila. And there, the conclusion of all the different philosophies, yogas, was bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga is explained as the highest philosophy, the conclusion of Lord Kapila to his mother Devahuti. So all these different incarnations of the Lord, they all come for a specific reason to teach us different things in our life. And from each different incarnation, we can learn a different lesson. So from Nara, Narayan Rishi, what do you think we can learn from them? Austerities. So austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins. So some of the austerities that we perform in Krishna consciousness might seem a little bit hard, getting up early in the morning, chanting our rounds, following the morning program. But these austerities, they help us in our development in Krishna consciousness. So we can learn something from Nara, Narayan Rishi. What can we learn from Lord Ramachandra? Anyone know? Haribol Prabhu? Duty. And he was the perfect person who executed his duty. It is said he was the perfect husband. No husband was better than Lord Ram. He was the perfect father. You couldn't find a better father than Lord Ram. He said he was the perfect monarch. Everyone in his citizen, except for one little Dobiwala, but everyone else was very, very happy in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. It just rained the right amount. The seasons came and went. Seasons are so irregular nowadays. I think it's snowing and whatever you have, you know. But in the presence of Lord Ram, everything was perfect. So what other incarnations can we learn something? What about Matsya Avatar? We were like a good scratch on our back, isn't it? That's what Lord Matsya Avatar came for. He had an itching sensation, and then that's what the Lord came for. Kurma, sorry, what did I say? Okay, Matsya, yeah, yeah. So then Matsya, what did Matsya came for? Save the Vedas. So Vedas, knowledge, again, very, very important. So knowledge helps us understand the purpose of our life. Knowledge helps us understand why we're performing Krishna consciousness. So it's not that we're just doing this for no reason, randomly just coming, but there's a reason why we are all performing this Krishna consciousness. So Krishna comes in so many wonderful incarnations, so many different leelas he has, and then the purpose of all these leelas is for us to be immersed in these amazing pastimes of the Lord. We like to have a good read. We like to read a good novel. We like to see a movie. Well, we're not supposed to. But, you know, we all like a good, exciting story. We all like to know some fantastic kind of dramatic kind of experience. So Krishna, he comes in these different incarnations, and these are all recorded over here, and we can read this and immerse ourselves in this amazing leelas, so that at the time of our death, all we are conscious of is this wonderful pastimes of the Lord. To be Krishna conscious means we have to be conscious of Krishna. And what does it mean to be conscious of Krishna? It means that we have to know what Krishna does in his life. Isn't it? Sometimes, like we have, especially nowadays, people are really, really into celebrities. People like idolize, you know, famous rock stars. Our own rock star over here. Were you idolized, Jayadev? Were you idolized when you were like a rock star? I can just imagine all the teenage girls had Jayadev pictures on their rooms, you know. So we all like to, you know, if you are a fan of someone, idolize them. And we see pictures in teenagers' rooms of this person, that person, the next person. So we all want someone to look up to. We all want someone to like validify our life. And mostly these people try to validify their life through these kinds of ways. They don't know. So the way that we can validify our lives is through the activities of what Krishna does. And Prabhupada explains the famous verse, Bhagavad Gita, memories go on, sutapa, what's that one? The Prabhupada uses always on Janmashtami. That's the one, yeah, it was there in the back of my tongue, you know. What's the translation, Prabhu? So there have it. And that's the conclusion, Prabhu. So whatever today we've learned in class, that is the conclusion. We have to know the activities of Krishna. We have to know when Krishna gets up. We have to know what he likes to eat. We like to know he likes to hang out with, isn't it? So like sometimes you have these paparazzis, they know when the celebrities, which restaurants they go, and they wait day and night with the massive cameras and whatever, you know. So in this way, if these people can dedicate themselves for these mundane, useless things, can you imagine we can also dedicate our time and our life in exactly the same way. Try and find out what Krishna's activities are. Try and enjoy what he likes eating, what he likes doing. Because Krishna is a person at the end of the day. And if we are really, really serious about going back home, back to Godhead, which I'm sure all of you are. Yes? Jaya Davis. I don't know about the rest. You are, aren't you? Come on, going back to Godhead. So there used to be this, you know, you all know Sambandas Prabhu, wonderful devotee. When he used to go on Harinam, he used to chant Hare Krishna. Then in between, he used to chant, going back to Godhead, going back to Godhead. And that is our purpose, going back home, back to Godhead. But if we're going to go to Godhead, let me tell you, it's only going to be Krishna consciousness there. Don't expect WhatsApp there. Don't expect Twitter. Only Twitch do that. Why is it called Twitter? So in this way, please forgive me. Try and make your life successful, as Prabhupada would say it. And have as much Krishna consciousness as possible. So Prabhupada would say that you perform your activity in such a way that it's immersed in Krishna, that when you hit that pillow, then at night time, what do? Dream about Krishna. And Indra Dumna Maharaj was saying that there was this girl at 6 years old. She was 6 years old, and then Maharaj was speaking to her. And then, you know, Maharaj was being really nice to her, and she goes, when you go to sleep, what do you dream about? She was 6 years. She said, oh, I dream about Krishna. And then Maharaj says, Krishna. And then, what do you do in that dream? He says, well, I don't do anything, but I help Radharani get Krishna's food ready. And Maharaj goes, wow, that's amazing. Then Maharaj asked him a few more questions. And then Maharaj asked, can I come and help you serve Radharani? And she says, no, you cannot. And then Ma said, why not? It's because you are a Purusha, you're a male, you have to be a woman. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.